We're returning this evening to our study on the prophet Elisha. Last week we began this study under the title, Simple Beginnings and Unquestioning Surrender. And we are watching Elisha's succession to Elijah. We noted that God's call on Elisha's life was readily embraced. We went back to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 20, and we hear Elisha say, without hesitation, without reservation, I will follow thee. Elijah walks by as Elisha is plowing the field and throws his mantle over his shoulder, which was a testimony of a call to follow him and be a prophet of God. Elisha's response, I will follow thee. God had first claim on Elisha's life. First claim. Secondly, we saw that Elisha's commission from God was eagerly pursued. As Elijah called him and commissioned him without variance and without deliberation, Elisha says, I will not leave thee. We went over to 2 Kings chapter 2 and watched as Elijah moved along, moving toward that ascension into God's presence, and told Elisha on three occasions, now you stay here, I'm going over here. And Elisha says, I will not leave thee. He stayed with Elijah right to the point where he saw him taken up in a chariot of fire and the clouds, the manifestation of God's presence taking Elijah home to heaven. We notice that Jehovah was in view and that serving his purposes was in the forefront for Elisha. The context of our study is the ongoing idolatry and apostasy of Israel. An idolatry and apostasy that continued despite Elijah's ministry efforts. Elijah made it very clear on Mount Horeb that his concern was for Yahweh's name. His concern was that God's people were following after Baal, even after the showdown on Mount Carmel, where they had a test to see who truly was God. The influence of Ahab and Jezebel had continued to dominate the nation Israel. And so they are guilty of idolatry and apostasy, despite Elijah's ministry efforts. And God makes it clear to Elijah that Elisha will follow him, that even though the apostasy and idolatry continued, that it would be punished, that God would work out his covenant purposes, that God's plan was not sidelined because of Israel's unfaithfulness. So we're watching the transition from Elijah to Elisha as God's man for his day. And we'll take that as our title tonight, Elisha, God's man for his day. Just like Elijah was God's man for his day, Elisha is God's man for his day. Just like David was God's man for his day, Solomon, Peter, Paul, God's man for his day. 2 Kings chapters 1 and 2 are transitional chapters where we're moving from the ministry of Elijah to the ministry of Elisha. And I would like to begin our reading in the first chapter of 2 Kings, the first 8 verses. This is Elijah's closing ministry. Verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 1, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. This makes it very clear that the apostasy is continuing. But verse number 3 says, the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from thy bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. When the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, Why are ye now turned back? When they came back to the king, he asked this question, Why are you back? Verse 6 says, They said unto him, There came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, Go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered, He was a hairy man. The idea there is that rough garment that a prophet wore, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, that is, the king said, It is Elijah, the Tishbite. Elisha, God's man for his day. Let's start by being reminded that every generation needs men who will stand with Jehovah. In Elijah's day, he was very distinctly marked out as God's man. He's clothed in those animal skins and that leather belt, according to verse number 8, that rough garment that marked the prophet as one who basically came out of nowhere with a message from God, a message that called people to repentance. It was a rough message. It was a message of repentance. It was a message that the apostates, the idolaters, did not want to hear. But every generation needs men who will stand with Jehovah, the covenant God of Israel. The question is asked of Elijah, Is there no God in Israel? Is that why you're headed down to Ekron? The question comes up multiple times. In verse number 3, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel? Verse number 6, again, Is it not because there's not a God in Israel? Is that why you're having to go to Ekron? Ask the question again down in verse number 16. When Elijah finally is in front of the king, he asks that question again. Is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Is that why you have sent messengers to Beelzebub, the false god? At this point, the false god that all of Israel is following after, that all of Israel is trusting in because of Ahab's influence, Ahaziah, is continuing to seek help. He's inquiring of this false god Baal. Every generation needs a man or needs men who will stand with Jehovah, those who will represent the unseen Lord over all. Elijah's responsibility here, and he's coming to the close of his ministry, is to continue to follow after the Lord, to say what the Lord once said, to speak God's truth into an apostate culture. And that's what happens in verse number 3. The angel of the Lord said unto Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria. Intercept them. Represent me. Speak for me. Over and over again in this paragraph, we have a reference to Elijah as the man of God. Notice it now following out in verse number 9. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 and his with his 50. And he went up to him. And behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king has said, Come down, referring to Elijah as the man of God. Elijah answered verse number 10 and said to the captain of 50, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50." And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Verse 11 again, as he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, "O man of God, thus saith the king, thus hath the king said, come down quickly." Elijah answered and said unto them, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. We're hearing it over and over again. They call up to him on the mountain as the man of God, and he responds, "Well, if I'm a man of God, then." We have it again in verse number 13. He sent again, that is, the king sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. Very different approach. And besought him and said unto him, here it is, "O man of God." Those who will represent the unseen Lord over all. That's who Elijah is. "I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came down a fire from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life be precious in thy sight." At this point, the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, verse 15, "Go down with him, be not afraid of him." He arose and went down with him unto the king. In the middle of verse number 15, "be not afraid of him," indicates that these that came representing the king intended some harm to Elijah. They called him the man of God, told him to come down, insisted that he come down. And yet fire came down from heaven and consumed the first 50 and the second 50. The third comes with a different spirit. The third comes in a different way. And instead of the fire of God coming down from heaven, Elijah goes with him and actually speaks to the king after God assures him, "You don't gate a bit." What is being referred to in this phrase, "the sons of the prophets," in 2 Kings 2:3? Look with me in verse number 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel 10 and verse 5. "After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, which is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company," here we go, "a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them," speaking of Saul, "and shalt be turned into another man." Verse 7 says, "And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee." So you have this testimony of these prophets. You have this testimony from God that the Spirit of the Lord is at work and that God is with Saul at this point. And verse number 8 says, "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." And it was so, verse 9 says, that when he had, that is Saul, had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, our phrase again, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, everybody that knew Saul before saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And one of that same place answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore, it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. Now, that's the first indication we have of what this company of prophets is. In Saul's day, it seems that the company of prophets were some that Samuel had established, maybe some who were trained by Samuel, maybe some who ministered with Samuel in some secondary way. Obviously, Samuel's the main prophet. But in this case, in order to verify God's moving in the life of Saul, he is seen with this company of prophets, and the Spirit of God changes his heart, and his ministry as the king is now being affirmed by God, and he's being prepared for that. So this company of prophets we read about back in 1 Samuel chapter 10 seems to be the beginning of what is known in our text as the sons of the prophets. Gilgal and Bethel were seats of the schools of the prophets. This is where they met. This is where they lived and where they dwelt. All generations need men who are established by God as prophets. So here we have Elijah and we have Elisha, who seem to be the main prophets. And then we have these other prophets, these secondary support prophets, maybe we could call them. The Bible calls them sons of the prophets. They're the company or schools of prophets. They come alongside. They serve God as well. They don't serve the main role as the prophet of the day, but they are faithful prophets. Multiple prophets, we'll say it this way. All generations need men who are established by God as prophets, multiple prophets to help combat spiritual and moral decline. These men appeared first in Samuel's day and now in Elijah and Elisha's day. We find them at Gilgal, we find them at Bethel, we find them at Jericho. Those seem to be major centers for their activity, the places where they lived and where they were trained and taught. We found them in verse number 3 of 2 Kings chapter 2. Notice down in verse number 4, we'll just move forward and we'll see this story unfold. Verse 4 of 2 Kings 2, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Another test and another testimony to Elisha. So they went to Jericho. Notice verse 5, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho. So this is the second group of these prophets, these supporting prophets. They came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elijah said unto them, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went on. So the testimony here is, again, that Elisha is passing the test. They too went on, the two of them. Verse number 7, we see this phrase again. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too, that is Elijah and Elisha, stood by Jordan. So in verse number 7, we have another testimony, and here 50 of these men are down watching what is taking place at the Jordan. Now, drop down to verse number 15. We'll move ahead just a little bit to try to tie these things together. Verse 15 says, when the sons of the prophets, which were in view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. So later on, when Elisha takes the mantle and opens up the Jordan River to pass back the other way, there were some of these sons of the prophets with him at that point. Move forward to chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. Okay? the sons of the prophets again. Verse number 38 of chapter number 4. Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. What we're doing is we're establishing that this group of prophets that served in Elijah and Elisha's day are constantly found in the narrative of 2 Kings. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. Let me show you two more of these. Verse 1 of chapter 6, the sons and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha. So you get this group of secondary prophets. They weren't the main prophets, but they are moving forward with, they're serving with Elisha. One more time in chapter 9 and verse number 1. It says, and Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. Multiple prophets to help combat the spiritual and moral decline of God's people. The implication here is that these schools continued from Samuel's day forward, and that Elijah and Elisha were accompanied by these men to serve in their day. They were pupils or disciples. They lived a communal life of training. They were supported by others in the nation. We're going to see that later in 2 Kings. They were sustained by other people in the nation. They always had a master, we might say, a master prophet over them. And they, here in our text, also needed an affirmation from God regarding Elisha. If Elijah is leaving, and these prophets are being trained and discipled by Elijah and following Elijah and coming alongside Elijah to combat spiritual and moral decline, then they need to be part of this transition. They need to see this take place. And so that's why we see 50 of them that are actually observing what takes place later on in chapter 2 as God welcomes Elijah to himself and affirms Elisha as his next man. So in every generation, we need men who are established by God as prophets. There are multiple prophets that help combat spiritual and moral decline, but there seem to always be as well these special prophets that lead others to know and follow the Lord. I don't think that would not be true of our generation as well. There are many, many who speak for God, combating spiritual and moral decline, but there are also those special instruments that God is using. Special men that God has called and gifted to serve in that leadership role. And there's a growing appreciation with many of us for these men who have a much broader influence, whose voice is heard not only around this country, but around the world, and who are faithful to take up the Word of God and to speak the Word of God, to defend the Word of God, to confront sin, to preach righteousness, to give the gospel to those who do not know Christ. They are affirmed by God, and they are a testimony to His power. They're men that are taught by God, and they replace men who've gone before them. And this idea of generational faithfulness in the prophets, they speak for God. They confront idolatry. They speak terms of judgment. In Elijah and Elisha's case, they did works of judgment. In this case, God is both affirming Elijah and Elisha as special prophets. And he was doing so in a way that established them before others. These we might call lesser prophets. Their faith is strengthened, and they continue to move forward in ministry and support to that God had called these chief prophets, we might say, to. Well, you got those 50 men, the sons of the prophets, in verse number 7 of our text, standing and viewing from a distance. And then you have Elijah and Elisha standing by the Jordan, verse 7. Verse 8 of 2 Kings 2, Elijah took his mantle, which is what he put on cast on Elisha back in chapter 19 when he called him. That's the testimony of the prophet, of the power of God. He wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry ground, which immediately takes our minds back to the prophet, leader, redeemer, human redeemer, Moses. What came to pass when they were gone over, verse 9 says, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. So Elijah actually initiates this with his, the one that would follow him, the one he has commissioned, Elisha. Ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away or be taken away from thee. Elisha's answer, verse 9, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And verse number 10 says, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So we have the testimony of Elisha in exchange with Elijah. Elisha has proven himself three times when Elijah says, no, you stay here. And Elisha said, no, I'm going to be with you. And now Elijah asked him, he said, what do you ask of me? And in answer to that, Elisha says, I want a double portion. And Elijah says, you've really asked a hard thing, which is basically saying, I cannot do that. Only God can do that. But Elijah adds, if you see me when God takes me to himself, then your request will be fulfilled. So he's basically affirming that Elisha's unwillingness to depart from him was a good thing and a righteous thing and exactly what God expected of him. And then he makes a promise to him, if you see me, then God will give you what you have requested. Well, let's think for a little bit about that double portion. Now, twice as much is what some interpret this to be, twice as much of this spirit. More miracles, a greater ministry. Some believe that's what is being said here. But most affirm that this is speaking about that spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 21, where the eldest brother would get a double portion, a firstborn portion. So I think the idea here is Elisha is saying that God would give me what he has given you, Elijah, that I would be able to take up the mantle. That I would be able to, with the Spirit of God, with the fullness of the Spirit of God, we might say, go forward and continue the ministry that has been your ministry. One thing he makes for certain as he speaks to Elisha is that's at God's discretion. That's granted at God's discretion. The point being, you know, God decides who will stand and be that major prophet for him. We've talked generationally tonight. God decides who has that leadership place. And we need to continue to rejoice in those that occupy that place. There's no room for jealousy because of an influence that God has given someone else. There's no place for resentment. There's no place for longing for some place other than the place that God has given us. Most of us who speak for God speak in a secondary place, serve a support role, we might say. That doesn't mean it's not important to serve God and to speak for God wherever we are. But God had granted to Elijah something special because he had a special task for him. And God grants that to Elisha as well. But all of that's granted at God's discretion. It's Jehovah's kingdom. It's his purposes that are going forward. But that double portion, we might say this way, is an equipping for unique service. There's a sense in which Elisha is always in Elijah's shadow. God had a special place for Elijah. But Elisha also served a major role in God's purposes. When Elisha is told by Elijah, you stay here. What did he say? He says it in verse 2. He says it in verse 4. He says it in verse number 6. He says, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth. Elisha is determined to be in the place where he can receive from God what is necessary to do what God has called him to do. The mantle was cast on him back in chapter number 19 by Elijah, 1 Kings 19. And so what you see with Elisha here is simply wanting everything that he's going to need to serve God's purposes. So I think we can settle in that this double portion involves that which is granted at God's discretion to serve God's purposes, but also it's a unique equipping, an equipping for unique service. What about this chariot of fire, these horses of fire? Notice it in verse number 11. It came to pass, as they still went on, that is Elijah and Elisha, and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, which means came between Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now that word that's used in verse number 1, that whirlwind, is reused in verse number 11. Okay, that manifestation of God, that taking Elijah to heaven. Verse number 12, Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, chariot of fire in verse 11, and the horsemen thereof, horses of fire in verse number 11. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in pieces. This chariot of fire, this horses of fire, what is that a testimony to? I'm going to phrase it this way. It is a testimony to the war machinery of heaven. When you think of chariots and horses, you're thinking about military might. You're thinking about weapons of war. This triumphant processional that takes Elijah into heaven is a testimony of God and his might. It's a testimony of the security of God's people to trust in the Lord. It's the testimony of a strong defense against enemy encroachment and devastation. Idolatry and apostasy had taken Israel by storm. It's a testimony of Elijah's works and words. That war machinery, God uses the words and works of Elijah, powerfully used by God. Elijah's witness in his life, he was faithful. Elisha's going to follow in that. So we have this chariot of fire, these horses of fire. It's the war machinery of heaven. Secondly, this is the words and the works of God's prophets. When they speak, they're speaking for God. When they call fire down from heaven, they're involved in God's ministry. And they part the waters with that prophet's mantle. That's a testimony to God's presence and God's power. And we're going to see Elisha do the very same thing as he takes the baton, as he runs the next leg, we might say, of the major prophet's race. That consuming fire that swallowed up the altar and the sacrifice back in 1 Kings 18, that fire from heaven in the last chapter that consumed 100 men and their two captains. This is all a testimony to the holy war that's taking place, a holy war that's raging in the heavenlies, an unseen spiritual, supernatural battle is taking place. And when Elisha calls him father in verse number 12, my father, that's a term of the prophetic leader, the one that had trained him for the last decade. It's a testimony of loss, a loss on Elisha's part in the sense that Elijah's going to be gone. Spiritual warrior is leaving, and now Elisha's ministry begins. Well, God's going to affirm that before this school of prophets. Look in verse 13. This is Elisha now. He took up also the mantle. Okay, the mantle was introduced when he was called. The mantle was used to divide the Jordan just a few verses ago. Well, now Elisha takes up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted. He smit them just like Elijah did, and they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And verse 15 says, when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, okay, here's the affirmation, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. That's a testimony of recognition and of submission to his leadership. And they said unto him, verse 16, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek the master. Let's go look for Elijah, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And that's what God did with Elijah so often. He just shows up somewhere. Elisha's response, end of verse 16, you shall not send. Let's not do that. Well, verse 17 says, when they urged him till he was ashamed, they just wore him down. He said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, that is to Elisha, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? What happens here is God verifies again that Elisha is his man. He is his man to replace Elijah. He tells him, don't go. And they went anyway. They insisted. When they came back, he says, I told you. I think God uses that to verify Elisha. And we have two stories in the next few verses that close out chapter number 2, which interest us. They're unusual stories, but let's read through them quickly and then make some application before we close. Verse number 19. The men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord seeth, that is Jericho. But the water is naught and the ground barren. Now, that immediately takes our minds back to that earlier drought that came because of Elijah's prayer for it not to rain. And then verse number 20, he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. They brought it to him, that's to Elisha, and he went forth into the spring of the waters, cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, it's a familiar phrase by now, I have healed these waters. And there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. Verse number 22 simply states, so the waters were healed unto this day. Notice, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. So now we have this affirmation of Elisha again in a parallel form to some of the miracle works of Elijah. And it's, thus saith the Lord. And then it's according to the saying of Elisha in verse number 22. This is a merciful ministry. This is a ministry of kindness. That's part of what the prophet will be doing. It's bad water and barren land. Now, what can the prophet of God do about that? Well, the Lord says this. And then it says, according to the saying of Elisha, the waters were healed unto this day, verse 22. Now look, almost an opposite story, verse number 23, but I think it gives us an idea of the apostasy and the impact of that apostasy in Elisha's day. Verse number 23 says, he went up from thence into Bethel. As he was going up, by the way, there came forth little children. Now that's the word that's used for youth. That's the word that's used to describe Joseph when he was 17 years old. So youth out of the city, and mocked him, this mocking Elisha, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. And he turned and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel. There was where he was going up. And from thence he returned to Samaria. We see kindness in the first 4 verses here of Elisha's ministry, and then we see severity as the idolatrous children, as the children of the idolaters scorn God's prophet. Go up is an idea of mocking his prophetic office and making fun of him. And we see basically an introduction to Elisha's life and ministry at this point. There's kindness where there's bitter water, and there's severity in dealing with the idolatry and apostasy of his day. So a chariot of fire and horses of fire, We see the war machinery of heaven. We see the words and works of God's prophets. Don't we as well see that these prophets, the chariot, the horses, Elijah, Elisha, are instruments of God's kindness and severity? That whirlwind, God's presence, dependent upon if you're faithful, and that's a great blessing if you're through Elisha and through these other prophets. Elisha, God's man for his day. Every generation needs men who will stand with Jehovah, and all generations need men who are established by God as prophets. God has established multiple prophets to help combat spiritual and moral decline, and God is also using special prophets to lead others to know and to follow the Lord. And we will rejoice in that. We'll be thankful for that. Let's talk to the Lord about that. Father, we want perspective. We want perspective from you. We want to live faithful in our day. And we want to acknowledge that you do all things well, and that you've always had men who have stood and spoken for you, and that we are very blessed people to have strong, faithful men who lead the way. And we are also blessed to have many who pastor little congregations, who have places all over this country and all over the globe, some discipling one or two, some discipling 12 or 15 through Bible studies, some pastoring simple ministries that week in and week out gather together to provide a place for people to worship and people to hear the Word of God. Even this means that we're enjoying this evening of an electronic accessibility to the Word of God. Many messages, pastors available online to be able to help us understand the Word of God. Give us a fresh perspective and a fresh appreciation. Help us not to be guilty of being an ungrateful people. And help us to be people who trust Yahweh, who trust the one true God, the I Am, to accomplish your purposes in your way and according with your timing for your glory. We praise you tonight in Christ's name. Amen.